Omaha Varsity Sports fans. We're back once again with episode 7 of our AVS podcast. Here to bring you all of the news and notes for this upcoming week of football. We'll touch on baseball today. But first, as always, I'm one of your hosts, Not So Little John, here with my co-host, Angel Steve 89.
What's going on, everybody? Hope everybody's week is going quickly as we are gearing up for another weekend of college football and NFL. Week 4 of the NFL and week 5 of the college football season. But first, we want to start off with some MLB talk. And unfortunately, the biggest news of the weekend was the loss of Jose Fernandez, who died in a boating accident early Sunday morning. It's one of those ridiculous losses for the entire sports world. This kid was probably the best pitcher that we've seen in a long time, and he loved the game more than anything. So it was on Twitter, seeing all the stories about him and all the gifts of how much he loved the game. It really sucked to start off our NFL Sunday. So the different week for the MLB this week compared to, you know, with the playoff races heating up. But just some sad news on Jose there.
It was absolutely one of the most shocking things that could have popped up. Obviously, we're not here always to talk about baseball, but when something like this hits the sports world, it can't really be ignored. One of the most promising young pitchers in the major leagues, with a ridiculous stat line year in, year out, was the cornerstone of that entire franchise. 24 years old, Jose Fernandez, dying in a boating accident, completely unexpected, with a baby on the wife and baby on the way. So, thoughts and prayers go out to his family and the whole Marlins organization.
Yeah, that's not the way you want to end the season for a Marlins team that won't be making the playoffs, but. You know, for us, you know, sports is one of those things that help us realize that, you know, we must move on and the show kind of must go on. And we're seeing that this week in Major League Baseball. There's two tight playoff races for those wild cards. We were mentioning earlier that there could be a five-way tie for a playoff spot in the AL. Those teams are all within 2 to 3 games of each other. Sadly, our Yankees are not going to be one of those teams.
Hey, and it's possible. They go 5-0. They have to go 5-0. Everyone else has to lose everything.
But So they're down 3-0 right now as we're recording in the top of the 8th inning. So I think that will cancel us out. But it's going to be tight and it's going to be fun. If you're a baseball fan, keep watching. And we're going to do maybe an MLB playoff podcast to kind of give our thoughts of what's going to happen in the postseason. Same goes for the NL. The Mets are still hanging on there, but the Giants and Cardinals are right on their heels. So there's some fun races as playoff time comes around as we're entering the middle weeks of football. Don't forget about baseball.
If you're in the National League here, you have to think. Wild card spots down to Mets, Giants, and the Cardinals, all within a game of each other. If you're sitting on the top of those standings, say, for instance, you're the Chicago Cubs in the National League, do any of those teams scare you at all, Steve?
Yeah. You have to see the Giants do. It's an even year. They win every even year, it seems like. And they have Bumgarner in there. So if you're going to have faced Bumgarner twice in a series, you have to be on your best. There's no walkover. And if you're the Cubs, even if you're a team like St. Louis, that's a 80-90-year rivalry you're going through there. So that's not going to be the Mets don't scare me because everybody is hurt and I don't even know who's pitching for them these days, so besides Syndergaard. But, yeah, so if you're hoping the Mets come out of that, I think if you're the Cubs, because if you're getting a Giants or a St. Louis, you could go anything could happen 5 games. And if you're going 5 games, that's not ideal for a Cubs team that's going to win, 105 games.
No, and I'm sure a lot of Mets fans are dying to sneak into the playoffs, obviously running the Cubs right out of the playoffs last year. But you're right, with those injuries, I just don't see the Mets making any sort of run this year. So if you're a Cubs, if you're a Nats, if you're a Dodgers fan, I think you're praying that the Mets get in to that one of those wild card spots and take that down to move on to the next round. But if you think about it, like you said, Cubs playing the Cardinals would be an awesome series, and Cubs playing the Giants would be an awesome series. I actually am extremely intrigued in the Nationals and Dodgers series that we're looking at here. Because I think the Dodgers may actually pull it out, all because of the Wilson Ramos injury.
Oh, it's huge. I think that puts the Dodgers as the favorite here. And, you know, once you get, if you have Clayton Kershaw on your team, you should be going into any series as a with a chance to win. So I think the Dodgers should win that one. I would take the Dodgers to win over the Nats now.
At this point, with Ramos out, I think that might be the play. That team, the National team, we were both on in preseason. We both talked about the Nats. We both had some future bets placed on them. We thought they were going to be the team to beat in the NL East, and the Mets were too highly regarded. It ended up working out for us, but this injury is a devastating blow to that team. And then we're looking at the East real quick, and you see the Rangers are in, the Indians are in, the Red Sox are in, and obviously there's a battle for those wild card spots. Do any of those teams seem to be the destined team in the AL to you?
Yeah, the fucking Red Sox do.
I hate it too, but I think I agree. I think the Red Sox are going to be the team to beat. They're playing well, pitching's on fire, and their bats have been unbelievable this year. So.
Yeah, and well, like we said, we'll do a little playoff podcast when it comes close. Give you a little sneak peek. Didn't LeBron break that Cleveland curse, and the Indians are having one of their better years recently? Just saying.
Something to think about.
All right, from the ballpark to the gridiron, let's recap a little bit of what happened in college football this week. We saw some big top ranked teams go down and some crazy finishes. What stuck out the most for you?
Oh, let me tell you, there were some battles last week. There were a couple close games, a couple not so close games, but definitely nerve-wracking for some gamblers out there that we saw a couple games come down to the wire. A couple games that stood out for me. Michigan State got absolutely demolished by a Wisconsin team that I really didn't think was that good. I guess we're going to see how Michigan State finishes off this year and whether they were actually for real. Obviously, we're seeing LSU is not that great as the season wears on. It'd be interesting to see how Michigan State finishes because right now Wisconsin, it looks like they have two top 10 wins. But if these teams trail off, they might not be that important. Washington snuck out an overtime win, Steve.
They did. I know. They were keeping some people on the West Coast there on the edge of their seat there versus an Arizona team. But it's on the road for Washington, but they were able to prove that they are the top 10 team and came out with a win, and that's what good teams need to do.
So you think back to the Wisconsin team that snuck out some wins there. We're talking about the legitimacy of their win, their big wins. Do you think Wisconsin's for real at all?
You want to look at their schedule now and say, like, they have to be. They beat number 5, and then they beat a number 8 on the road. But like you said, you know, LSU, they're kind of that number 5 win, you know, week 1 is going to end up being, you know, devalued as the year goes on. But Wisconsin's good. Their biggest task will come this week when they're on the road at Michigan. If they can hold up there, then they're 100% for real and should be talked about as one of the top 5 teams in the country. But I don't think you can use the past week at Michigan State for Wisconsin. You got to use this week at Michigan as the real test, the real eye gauge test.
This will be the telltale sign coming up. Last week we had an A&M team that was ranked 10 taking on number 17 Arkansas, in what seemed like blowout fashion, winning this game by 21 points. This game was never in doubt. The Aggies looked great. Now my question to you is Texas A&M the biggest threat to Alabama this year? Obviously Alabama is running through their schedule with ease, but is A&M the biggest problem that they're going to face? Or is it more the Tennessee, Florida, LSU in that second tier of teams?
Yeah, I mean, the score looked like it was a blowout because it definitely wasn't the second half for A&M, but they really struggled in that. If you watch that second quarter, it looked like it could have been, you know, a nail biter, and then they did some good halftime adjustments and came out there. So Texas and A&M is there, then kind of rolling that right into the Rocky Top of Tennessee, who also had a phenomenal second half versus Florida. They looked terrible in, you know, the first 20-25 minutes of that game. And they come out and just put a beat down on there. Tennessee's had some scares with them, so I can't think that they're going to be the team that's going to challenge Alabama. But when you look at it, like, I don't know, LSU just got rid of Les Miles. Did they do that strategically right before, you know, they have some big games coming up? But I can't count a new interim coach to beat Alabama. So it's got to be a toss-up between Tennessee and Texas A&M. And we, I'm going to say it's going to be Tennessee. I think they're the ones that are going to be the more battle-tested as they come. Tennessee's schedule right now is tough win on at home versus Florida. Then they have Georgia this week, which is going to be a real tough game. Then the A&M matchup that's going to be, you know, determine who's going to be number two in the SEC. And then Bama. Those three games in a row for Tennessee are going to are make or break their entire thing.
It's a gauntlet for them.
Yeah. I mean, you got to hope to come out 1-2 out of the next three, and hopefully you don't go 0-3. But, you know, if Tennessee comes out 2-1, go and you know, win two and then rather than play Bama, Tennessee's going to be looking like a 11-win team possibly.
Yeah, if Tennessee can win these next two games, which obviously are doable, like you said, I think that A&M game is going to be telling. A&M's defense has been absolutely stellar this year. And I think that team, to be honest, I think A&M, and this is very, very preliminary, but I think when A&M and Alabama match up, I'm going to probably be on the A&M side calling for an upset. But obviously, we're still very early here. We also had some games out west that we had mentioned. Obviously, we saw Washington escape Arizona. But we had UCLA-Stanford. Stanford pulled out a win against UCLA, basically knocking UCLA's playoff hopes far, far away. Now is a two-loss Pac-12 team sitting there with a loss, a crucial loss in your division. Probably won't be able to win the Pac-12, and with two losses, you're pretty much done out west.
Yeah, that was we'll touch a little more on that game later, but that's a game that I hope everybody stayed up and watched for. Crazy finish there. But, yeah, then it shows it to Stanford. You know, they're still now kind of pulled that out and are undefeated, and they go up next week at Washington there. So we have another top 10 matchup there with, you know, a 7-10 at Washington, and, you know, both coming off big late game wins. You know, you hope, you know, will either one of them have kind of a drop off going into this huge matchup? So it's going to be out west is going to be, you know, drink your Red Bull vodkas when you're out on Saturday because, oh no, I'm sorry, that's a Friday game.
That's Friday night? Yep.
Oh, even better. So start chugging Red Bull in the office and then just stay up for those games.
Bouncing back out east, Florida State rebounded and handed University of South Florida a hefty loss. This game was never in doubt. Florida State came out guns blazing right in the beginning. They ran away with it. There was no catching this Seminole team. They looked just like the team we thought they were, and they are trying to erase all memories of that blowout loss to the Louisville Cardinals.
Yeah, that was it was good. You know, we were watching that line was dropping too, so we were kind of you know, intrigued when they could close at like 4.5 when it opened at 7. So there was people were thinking that Florida State wouldn't bounce back, but like you said, you mentioned Louisville going to them. You know, them and Houston are two, you know, kind of sleeper fun teams to watch in the year. They both just kind of had a boring week where they just crushed teams and moved on. You know, winning by over 30 in each. I mean, Houston really. I don't even know.
Houston was by, what, 60, I think?
61, yeah.
I remember seeing that and feeling pretty bad. I think it was some random school. I forget what. Yeah. But, yeah, I know Louisville. I actually don't think Louisville covered the spread. I think it was 31.5, and I see it was a 31-point win.
Yes, that was depending on when you got it. It was 31 or 31.5, so hopefully you got the push there.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think the last one, not a ranked team here. I don't know, that can't be right. If you're telling me Notre Dame's not ranked, how did they do this week?
Wait a second. Notre Dame's not ranked? That's so crazy. After hearing so how great Notre Dame is for so long, I wouldn't believe this Fighting Irish team wouldn't be ranked. But looking at the score and refreshing my memory, it looks like they may have slipped another one to go to fall to 1-3 at the hands of the lowly Duke Blue Devils.
That is amazing. I, you know, as we our episode one, I said that I am a Duke fan, and I, you know, vaguely watched some Duke football, but that was fun to watch. It was the best of both worlds for me. It was a high scoring, fun game. If you're just a college football fan, I still think we should tell Notre Dame they should play defense this year. I don't want to like burst their bubble, but they do need to play defense in football. No one, I don't know if they have a defensive coordinator. What's going on over there? Maybe he brought a girl into his room and he got kicked out. I don't know, but they do not play defense.
Speaking of the Notre Dame defense, we need to move on to why we both love Notre Dame and change it up a little bit and talk about why we're smitten for Notre Dame now. heading into week number 5.
There you go. That's it. This is a little different than why we hate Notre Dame. This is why we love them. And talking about the Duke game, I love Notre Dame because they didn't just lose to a Duke team. They lost to a Duke team that is playing a backup quarterback. You know, so this guy was not ready to play. We didn't know we had the QB guru out there as their head coach, but you cannot lose to a backup quarterback in South Bend. And that is just unbelievable. So we're switching up from why we hate them to why we love them. I love them because they can't beat anybody right now. What about you?
It's absolutely embarrassing that they're looking as bad as we actually thought they were. People were anointing DeShone Kizer a Heisman sleeper, this team, even after the loss in Texas. But moving on, you were talking about defense before, and the reason I love Notre Dame is because the not one, not two, but three losses this year all came to teams with offenses that were worse than 45th in the nation. They played a Texas offense who was 83rd in the nation last year and gave up 50 points. They played a Michigan State team who was 60th in the nation in offensive point production and gave up 36 points. Then they played the wonderful Duke Blue Devils who finished the highest ranked offensive team that they lost to this year, 48th in the country, and gave up 38 points to this team too. Even though Notre Dame still manages to score, I love them so much because their defense is that much worse.
There we go. All right, so let's going to move on to – we're doing a little bit different this week. We're going to go into a little preview of the upcoming week and then hit you with the hot soup picks for college football, then touch on the NFL. So this week we have some big matchups here. There's three games that feature top 25 teams going against each other. What's the one game you're looking forward to?
Oh, well, I think you know the answer to this, Steve. It's the almighty Clemson Tigers versus Lamar Jackson and the Louisville Cardinals. They will be – Death Valley is going to be rocking on Saturday night. Game day is going to be there. That's the game I'm ready to watch on Friday – on Saturday. What is your go-to game this weekend?
The one that I already talked about earlier is Tennessee-Georgia. Can Georgia come back from a really bad loss last week, and can Tennessee kind of put away those early game demons and come out here and make a point to show that they are in this SEC battle? It's going to be a number 11 versus 25. I think Georgia's going to come back at home, and it's going to be a tough one. And then second on at the same time is Michigan-Wisconsin there. So those are the three top 25 games going on there. I'm going to be paying attention, of course, to Miami-Georgia Tech because Miami was our big over-under on the year, and they've kind of come out on fire, so they've got to continue that. And then the Friday night game that we saw of the Stanford-Washington out west.
Good one. There's going to be some fireworks in that. Washington basically is coming out to show if they're for real or not. I don't know, to be honest, from a gambling standpoint, I don't know how – you can't take Stanford here, getting 3.5 points. It's kind of one of those things. It's basically like, prove me wrong. Every year, Stanford's there. Every year, they're battling for a Pac-12 championship. I love Washington, and we mentioned it before the year that I thought they were a sleeper team. I love their quarterback, Jake Browning, but I just think 3.5 points, I think it's going to be a very close game. I think Stanford is the play there, but I'm not touching that game with a 10-foot pole. But some sneaky games, Steve, that are going to be relatively exciting. You got Texas, the Longhorns, to find out whether or not they're for real. A big game against Oklahoma State. Texas still isn't out of the Big 12 here. They go on a nice little run here. This team is still a team that can win this Big 12. Another game staying in the Big 12 that I'm looking forward to probably would be my second game behind the Clemson Cardinals game. Would be the Oklahoma TCU game. Oklahoma was the big pick preseason. Here on the show, I had said I have TCU winning the Big 12. If they don't win this game, they're not winning the Big 12. So this is a big game for TCU. They're underdogs at home. I don't see TCU losing this game, to be honest, but we'll mention that a little bit later. What do you think? Do you think anybody's on upset alert here?
Going through it right now, I don't see any outlying upset alerts going on. Can North Carolina hang with Florida State and maybe do something? North Carolina, I think, kind of is a little underrated in the ACC. But at home, they're not going to be able to beat a Florida State team. And then maybe Cal, Utah, we've seen they've been in close, tough games, and they score a lot of points. So they're actually home favorites versus Utah, the number 18 team in the country. So it wouldn't be a technical upset, but that would be one if you want to look for a top 25 team that might drop out after next week would be Utah.
Let me tell you, I agree. I think that line stinks to high heaven. I think Cal's going to win this game. I don't understand Utah as good as they've looked all year, going into a 2-2 Cal team with a very bad defense. Obviously, Davis Webb has already thrown for 18 touchdowns this year. Guy slings the ball all over the field. The offense is great. They put up points for a revenge game, which is going to be very interesting to watch. And I'm leaning towards a selection here. Ole Miss over Memphis in a revenge game from last year. There's a lot of big games this weekend. It's going to be from sunup to sundown, good games throughout the day. Your TV will not be able to take a break. Another noon game that you mentioned, Miami, Georgia Tech. Miami could be on upset watch there.
No. Yeah, those would be good. And then if you want to get your beak a little wet on a Thursday, our Houston Cougars are going off at home versus UConn. That could be another, I think, 30-plus game there. And if you want to see some exciting football and see how long Ward Jr. plays at QB, they're going to put up some serious points versus the Huskies.
Oh, I love Greg Ward Jr.
All right, you ready to move into the hot soup picks of the week for week number 5?
Let's do it.
All right, so we are now had a few struggle-ish weeks, I think we can say. So we're going to hopefully turn it around this week. Last week we were 1-2 and technically coming out even because of the minus one unit.
Minus one, yeah.
Minus one. Oh, take that one on the chin, and let's hope we can provide you with some winners this week. We got a bunch for you.
Go ahead.
No, sorry about that. We're not doing it with video this time, so I can't see when John's ready to jump through the screen or not and wants to talk. First up is a game we've mentioned already a bunch, is TCU plus 3.5 versus Oklahoma. I think you already kind of gave your pick here, but is this going to be an official play for you?
This is going to be an official play for me, Steve. I absolutely love TCU in this spot. I think this Oklahoma team had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. But I think the problem here is this 2 weeks wasn't spent preparing. This 2 weeks was spent stewing on a bad, bad loss where they got absolutely ravaged by an Ohio State team that came in and absolutely ruined their playoff chances. I think this team is going to be unraveled from the start. I think TCU's defense is legitimate. Kenny Hill has come in and proven he can play mistake-free football for this TCU offense. Under center, he looks great. Like I said, this Oklahoma team is rattled, and they're going into TCU in what's going to be a pretty hostile environment in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to put 2.5 units on each of TCU Moneyline and TCU plus 3.5.
Oh, I like it. They pull it up there. That's a great way to start our weekend off. Second up, we support our troops, of course, here at AVS here, so let's give some love there. What about this Navy-Air Force game coming up on Saturday?
I'm standing up full salute for this Navy-Air Force game right now and jumping all over Navy plus 7.5. As you know, these two teams, all of these Army, Air Force, Navy, all of our service teams, they run the triple option. And if you're going to give me a lot of points in a triple option battle between Navy and Air Force, I'm going to take them. These teams are basically interchangeable. Air Force offense is usually a little more explosive than the other two service academies in a year-in and year-out basis. However, not this year. Navy has a stronger front seven. And with two option teams, like I said, you have to take the points here. Navy's going to be able to keep this. No problem taking the touchdown and the hook, one unit, and taking Navy plus 7.5.
Two underdogs have started off. All right, for week 3, let's go back to the SEC. We got the Florida Gators versus Vanderbilt, and this is a double-digit spread here. Spread line is 10. Where are you leaning?
I absolutely love this game. It's one of my favorite plays of the week. Florida minus 10 against Vanderbilt. With that 10 points, yeah, you're giving up 10 points to a Vanderbilt team that has a pretty good defense. However, this Florida offense is showing signs of life. They came in and showed they can stand with one of the best teams in the SEC, sorry, most talented teams in the SEC, in the Tennessee Volunteers. They blew a 21-point lead at Tennessee. Obviously, losing to an arch rival, this team's going to be very pissed, very salty. I have no problem laying 10 points with a Vanderbilt team that is going to have trouble putting up points. The Gators' front seven is only giving up 76.5 yards per game rushing and 2.1 yards per carry. They're going to give lots and lots of they're going to get lots of time on offense because Vanderbilt's not going to be able to move this ball. If you're only telling me I'm only going to have to give 10 points with a far superior defensive team and an offense that's starting to click a little bit, I'm going to give the 10 points and take Florida minus 10. Oh, sorry. That's for two and a half unit play.
All right, there we go. And yeah, if we don't say the units, they'll definitely be up on LJ's write up, which comes out on usually on Fridays. And if you thought 10 points was a lot, the number four hot soup pick of the week here, that's Bama minus 35. You really gonna lay all those points there,
Steve? Believe it or not, we hate taking favorites, but we're doing it again here. Alabama minus 35. I have no problem laying these 35 points. Let me tell you right now, this Alabama team is destroying teams. They are clicking on all cylinders. Kentucky has looked atrocious. Their defense is extremely bad. Obviously, we've seen Louisville hang tons of points on their opponents. I'm expecting when Kentucky-Louisville play, and that's going to be a rivalry game. There's going to be no letting up. I'm expecting Louisville to hang up 70-plus on that Kentucky team. So giving up 35 here, I have no problem with Alabama. You're telling me that this Kentucky team is going to be able to score more than 14 points on this Bama team? Because I don't think it's going to happen. I think Alabama is going to come out. They're going to run the ball well. They're going to hit that occasional play over the top to our boy Ridley up top once in a while. He'll probably blow the top off the defense once or twice this game. I just don't see and by the way, Jalen Hurts is playing really, really well for this Alabama team. Everyone always talks about Alabama quarterbacks doing absolutely nothing. He's playing surprisingly well, and the suffocating Alabama defense will have no trouble stifling this Kentucky offense. I see a 45-point win. I'm seeing Alabama 49, Kentucky, Oh, let's go 46-point win.
That'd be 47, but all right.
I just did the math in my head.
Math is 49. Hard. All right, and then for the number five pick here, I'm going to tell you there is no chance in hell I'm going to be watching this game here. So what do you got for Southern Miss versus Rice?
Before the year, if you read our articles, we mentioned Southern Miss as a very, very good small-town team. They are going to only be giving up 24 points here, and this is secretly a great play this week. Rice is absolutely awful. They looked atrocious across the board in three games so far this year, I don't see this turning around at all. The Southern Miss offense puts up points, and they have no problem doing so. 24 points is not that much to give. Rice lost to Army, and they haven't given up less than 30 points to one opponent yet this year, which basically tells me that this offense is going to have – Southern Mississippi offense, led by quarterback Nick Mullins, is going to have no problem moving this ball. It's going to be gorgeous in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, for this Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles team to lay the smackdown on a bad Rice team. Let Southern Miss get their second conference win of the year. We picked them to win Conference USA early in the year, and this is going to be the first step, second step this year, to move on to an undefeated conference season for them.
All right, so those are the hot soup five picks of the week. I'm sorry. John has a sixth bonus pick of the week here with his Clemson Tigers versus Louisville, the game of the week. What we got for the bonus pick?
I don't see, and we don't do this often. We're going out making a sixth pick this week because the card is so great. There are so many leans this week. There are so many picks we like. They'll all be in the articles. But this sixth pick is a juicy one. We're going 3 units on the spread and 3 units on the money line for a total of 6 points. And we're taking the Clemson Tigers outright to beat Louisville. We're going max play on both. Clemson out-duels Louisville here in what I don't see as too close of a game. I think Clemson's going to win this game by 10 points. I think Deshaun Watson has been talked down this entire year. But if you look at the stats and compare them to last year, they're extremely similar. This Clemson offense is extremely similar to where it was at this point last year. Deshaun Watson is the seasoned vet who has been battle-tested time in and time out. And he's going to out-duel Lamar Jackson. Death Valley is going to be rocking. This is going to be Lamar Jackson's first real road test this year. Don't forget, Florida State came into Louisville for that afternoon game. This is going to be a night game under the lights, a rocking Death Valley. The defensive front seven is going to be able to contain Lamar Jackson. He's not going to be able to get on the move. Clemson's going to stop the big play, and that's going to be the difference. Clemson's offense is going to be able to score points. We are well aware of that. I'm going max play on the spread, max play on the money line. Clemson is going to win this game, and I am extremely, extremely confident about it.
That's good. You better not be giving us a homer pick here.
No, that's. I tried to remove myself from the homer pick here because I'm so confident about it. Steve and I talked about it before the show. Everything we're reading is saying that the public, it loves Louisville. They see all the points. They see flashing Lamar Jackson. They hear ESPN talking about him all the time. And guess what that means? All of the big-time gamblers are going to sit back and wait for that line to get to a perfect 3-point line, and they are going to pounce. So be ready to do that with them around Friday night, early Saturday morning, because it's going to hit. I have a strange feeling.
Yeah, this is crazy. I think they opened up at Clemson -2, I think. So we're in a 4-point full swing for a team at home to be, you know, losing all those points. I think it's pretty crazy. So that's going to be a Sunday night buckle up and watch those Tigers go. And that wraps up a hot soup for the week. Let's transition to the big boys, the guys that make the money, to the NFL. Let's recap week 4. I'm going to have to eat some face here. Thursday night was embarrassing.
Not good, Steven. We talked about it.
We did. And what the? Bill Belichick is by far the greatest football coach that ever coached. The Texans are not that good, obviously, but 27-0 was not what I was expecting at all. To start us off of the week, I will say, good job, LJ. Steve sucks.
That's one I have to take. I tried to talk you out of it. I just had a feeling that Bill Belichick was not only the right side there. I just thought the Texans were not the play. But speaking of the Texans, a recap, J.J. Watt, done for the year.
Yeah, that was a huge shocker coming out of that game. It kind of – is it his fault? Because he pushed so hard to be ready for week 1. I bet the Texans are wishing he missed the last 3 games and could play the rest of the year here. So, you know, don't take it easy when you come back, especially with the back. I mean, we've seen with Romo over the past 3 or 4 years. You can't fuck with the back. And J.J., the best defensive player in the league, is going to be out for the year here. So, big blow for the Texans.
It's a huge blow for the Texans. But the Patriots look good. The Patriots for real. I honestly, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. The Patriots could legitimately go undefeated again. I don't see teams getting in their way.
Yeah, not at all. And, you know, this week they got the Bills and Rex Ryan. And, you know, Rex Ryan is already, like, poking the bear. I don't know if you saw it today. But he jumped on the reporter's press conference call to Julian Edelman as, like, a fake reporter and was asking him all these questions about, like, if he's going to play quarterback this week and everything. And I think
– that's awesome, though.
I think Edelman caught on by the way he was responding. But come on, sexy Rexy. You know not to do that and mess with Belichick here, because what he's going to do? He's going to blow you out, and then he's going to put Edelman in quarterback and make you look like an idiot.
Nope,
but Rex probably may have saved his job this week by beating a Cardinals team at home, traveling, you know, west traveling east. That was probably the biggest upset of the week. The Cardinals going 1-2. They were big Super Bowl, you know, favorites going into the year. It's struggling.
You mentioned them preseason. Both of us had them as preseason favorites. I had them in the Super Bowl beating the Steelers. So it doesn't look good for me here, losing by 15 points to a 4-point underdog on the road.
Not at all. Some of the other games that I thought were pretty important. The Broncos, Bengals, two good teams going at it. But you know, Mark Simeon looking like a kind of a possible real deal here. I mean, we know that Broncos defense is unbelievable. If they actually have a competent quarterback, look out. The defending Super Bowl champs here could be making a run for back-to-back.
I think you mean Trevor Siemian, but I got
whatever that. Yeah, so whatever the hell his name. No one even fucking knows.
No, but it's unbelievable. He looks great. He was the number one, I don't know if you knew this. He was the number one fantasy point producer last week, which is absurd.
No, it's ridiculous.
The team looks legitimate. Everyone knew that defense was for real. And Trevor Siemian under center is just showing that Peyton Manning really wasn't that important to this team last year. Could Denver be the one cog in the spokes of the Patriots on their way to a Super Bowl? Who knows? It could be the hiccup game in the future.
Yeah. And then speaking of rookie quarterbacks, that kid in Philly, Carson Wentz over there, is putting on a show. The Eagles just destroy another Super Bowl early season contender in the Steelers, you know. And but more importantly, the Eagles defense holds the Steelers to no touchdowns. I was not expecting that when I came back from being at the Giant game there to see this score at halftime of 13-3, and then just the Steelers didn't even show up after the halftime.
I couldn't believe how bad the Steelers looked this week. You saw the Steelers were only favored by 3.5 points. I guess we should have known that was fishy. I don't really know. I just honestly don't know what to say. The Eagles look legitimate, and I didn't expect it at all. Carson Wentz looks like a stud. He was 23 of 31 with 300 yards last week and 2 touchdowns. Maybe this Eagles team is legit and starting to put things together, which is obviously surprising for the both of us.
Yeah, definitely. I was not. Yeah, the NFC East, you know, will always be that division that is going to be so close here. And this was the year we thought the Eagles were going to tank, and that did not go according to plan for the other teams out there. Speaking of the NFC East, our Giants, the 2016 Giants, you know, had the 2015 Giants play last week versus the Washington R words, and it was so Tom Coughlin era of just bad penalties. You know, you block a punt and about to take over, and you have an unsportsmanlike conduct. You have Odell, you know, just puts Josh Norman on his ass and gets to the 3-yard line. But then we take a cheap shot at Norman, and we go back another 15 yards for Westbrook. Richburg, and he gets tossed out of the game. So the Giants making dumb penalties and costing the game there. And you know what? Even worse, after all that, they could have came down and just kicked a field goal. But Eli, just a bad read and a bad throw, just tosses his second pick of the game, I think.
I saw the highlight of this game. I was coming home from a wedding in the car. Got basically into range enough to hear it play-by-play on the radio. And just hearing everything that was going down in this game was mind-boggling as a Giants fan. Penalty, stupid penalty after stupid fucking penalty. Eli Manning with the pick. Like you said, the block punt, I was going nuts. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, what's going on? There's a penalty. It's unfucking believable how undisciplined this team looked. It's unacceptable. Tom Coughlin's going to be completely digging into this team. I love them this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a second. The other team that now, Eli did not have a good game, but let's just say Ryan Fitzpatrick had the worst game possibly of all time. Like, since they started doing QBR rating, this is the worst game that they've ever recorded on QBR. I think it was a 20.3, which is just unbelievable. He threw 5 straight possession picks. The Chiefs ended up with 6 interceptions the entire game. They took one back to the house. This was just the Chiefs just completely steamrolled on the Jets. And, you know, a big win for last week for the Jets. You think that might help turn around their season here. But a loss like this can really kill a season here. The Chiefs look good. Their defense is good, but they're not that good. They're not 6 picks worth worthy.
The Jets going to 1-2 kills the Jets here. Because if you think about it, Patriots, first of all, you had your shot here. Tom Brady went down. This was the shot for all the teams in the AFC East to try to get their shit together, move up, gain some games on this team, and they did nothing. The Bills are 1-2. The Jets are 1-2. The Dolphins are 1-2. Before Tom Brady even gets – actually, there's one more week, so I'm not going to jump in there yet. But as of right now, as things stand, you're already down 2 games, and the best player in the AFC East isn't even on the field right now. So they're doing themselves no favors. The Jets looked atrocious. Like you said, Fitzpatrick was awful. If you saw some of the highlights or watched the game, you saw Jets players legitimately just quitting on plays after the fourth interception. There was the fifth and sixth interceptions were basically just guys not even going to make a tackle, just picking up their helmet and walking off the field. It was bad. The Jets team looked defeated. And they have a tough one coming up against Seattle this week.
Yeah, perfect transition, John, there. I'm going to get you with my two homer picks of the week. And surprisingly, it's in contrast to the soundbite we have for that, these picks are going awesome. We're now 5-1 on the year. The only thing preventing us from being 6-0 is the Giants taking knees at the end of the game there instead of punching it in. So keep riding knees. Hopefully you guys are. This week it is the Jets at home versus the Seahawks here. And this is one of those things where the West traveling east, and they typically do not fare well at all traveling east. But as we said, the Jets look terrible here. Right now it's Seahawks -2.5. I think the Jets are going to bounce back a little bit, but I'm going to take the Seahawks money line here. It's right now it's only -140, so don't worry about the spread here. Just go with the Seahawks money line. We know every week I call a guy Russell Westbrook.
Yep, you do.
But we know Wilson is hobbling, and you know he's just got to be able to know that he doesn't have to do things with his feet here versus Jets team. Just kind of stay around and let the Jets make the mistakes here, and then let your talented offense just do the work. So I think the Seahawks, it could be a close one, so I'm just going to take the Seahawks money line here for the first homer pick of the week. And then moving on to the big blue. Monday night in Minnesota. They have struggled big time in Minnesota over the past few years, but the past is the past, and Minnesota has looked way better than I expected after losing Bridgewater and then AP. Right now the Giants are getting 4.5 here. I'm putting this one on Benny with the good hair, McAdoo. Get your team in line here. Taking the Giants +4.5. Huge bounce back week. This team has Green Bay coming up after Minnesota here. So if they lose here, then they lose to Green Bay. You're looking at 2-3 when you have teams like the Eagles doing well and, you know, Dak Prescott out in there and Dallas is doing good. You got to stay in this NFC battle here, and they got to take this game here versus Minnesota. And it could become a huge game down the line as the wild cards coming out here. So Giants, I'm putting this on you. You're going to have Orleans Darkwa starting at running back here. Not a name people are going to know, but this kid runs hard. And I like the Giants to get the running game going. And then Odell Beckham finally scores his first touchdown, and the Giants cover the spread here.
I absolutely love that Giants pick. I'm going all over the money line. I think this is the perfect spot for the Giants to do what the Giants always do for us year in and year out. They look awful one week. They come back and put on an absolute show in a gem of a matchup. The lights are going to be on Monday night. I think, just like you said, I think Minnesota is a very good team. The defense is stout. I think this is just so stereotypical of the Giants to come back and play an absolutely unbelievable game. I love that pick. Jets game I'm probably staying away from just because I have no idea what either of those teams are at this point in the year.
All right, so let's move on to the other games of the week. We got, you know, a full slate of games here. Tomorrow, we got today, if you're listening, tomorrow. Bengals-Dolphins, you know, we got one of our favorite listeners, Dr. Spiner, out there, is telling us that this is a must-win for the Bengals. If you can get the Bengals -7, throw the house down on the Bengals there at home versus Miami. So tomorrow will be a big matchup to start us off. What do you think about tomorrow? Then what other games you got eyed out on the schedule for Sunday?
The doctor is legitimately trying to make house calls and fill everyone's pocket with a Bengals -7. For me, this game, I'm too scared. I think the Dolphins have too much talent, and there's going to be one game where they end up actually playing up to that talent. It just scares me. The Dolphins are a team I'm going to constantly avoid. I think the Bengals will win, but I am scared of that. Across the board, I think the Patriots are just going to run away from this game. I think, like you said, the Bills are not going to fare well against the Patriots in Foxborough. Do you have any big – I didn't even get a chance to really – we talked about how much we love the Giants, but across the board, there were no lines that really stood out this week.
The only one that looks, you know, in the LJ Fishy aspect of it is the Broncos-Buccaneers. We talked how good the Broncos are. But right now at -3, the Broncos are getting almost 90% of the bets out in Vegas. And that is ridiculous to be heard of there. So if you want maybe a little upset special there, maybe Jameis Winston and the Buckaroos can take down the Broncos at home.
Oh, by the way, I forgot about that game. I love the Buccaneers there. That's going to be a money line play for me. I think because this is so strange, the Bucks have to win this. I bet you Jameis throws for 3 touchdowns this week. The defense actually gets a hold, a stranglehold on Trevor Siemian. I totally love that play. I agree with it. Giants and Bucks are probably going to be my 2 picks this week. Everything else is too strange for me, I think.
Yeah, there's one I was looking at too. The Rams Cardinals. We talked about the Cardinals struggling only at 1-2, and you know somehow like the Rams 2-1. I don't think they haven't looked good at all, but somehow they're 2-1 there. So are the Rams for real now? I think this is the game that the Cardinals kind of show that you know the season is 17 weeks long, and they're laying a full 8 versus the Rams there too. But maybe Carson Palmer goes off here. This is going to be a week 4 is kind of strange. You got those teams that are the surprising 3-0 teams and teams that have struggled. You know, this is the time to start turning around here. It's the last game. I think a lot of NFL coaches break the season down into 4 quadrants, and this would be, you got to finish quadrant 1 here on a high note. So week 4 is super important to a bunch of teams, and it'll be fun. I mean, it's the NFL, so.
I think the Cardinals-Rams is going to be an awesome game, but I think that – like you said, this week 4 is very up in the air because you don't know who's for real at this point. It's just very dicey. I think it's going to be a very exciting Sunday, as usual. But I think it's going to be a very untantalizing Sunday when it comes to the betting. And by the way, just a little action for you, Steve. I don't know if you noticed, but the Red Sox are up 3-0, and the Yankees have the bases loaded with no outs in the bottom of the ninth.
I'm watching. I was watching that Gary Sanchez at bat, ready to just cut you off with a slam Chez screen, but he drew the walk there. All right, so that wraps up the NFL here. We're going to finish this week with a couple of popular segments. First up is the highly enjoyed, highly recruited, highly educated here. I'm sticking with the NFL here. I think you got yourself a college kid on deck, but mine here is Greg Hardy. I mean, Greg Hardy might be one of the dumbest humans of all time to be making millions of dollars. Yeah, he got arrested for drug possession, intent. I don't know what the hell he got arrested for. Too much for Greg Hardy. He's already serving his 10-game suspension. He probably will never play again in the NFL. But he got caught with a bag of coke in his wallet, and his reasoning to the cops and his official statement to the cops was, someone must have put it there last night because I paid for everybody's dinner and I passed my wallet around so they could take money. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I'm sure the cop writing this has got to be, like, laughing in his face, being like, yeah, sure, buddy, don't worry. No one knows who you are, and you definitely don't have any drug charges ever in your history. So you're good to go. See you.
I absolutely loved reading that story because it's so perfect that it happens to Greg Hardy of all. Like, we talked about what a mess this guy is, and his talent is unbelievable. Like, he was great for the Cowboys last year, but he's a fucking head case. And this obviously doesn't help him at all. But I'm jumping into the college, but sticking with those defensive guys, I'm going with the Louisiana State University Tigers. First team defensive end, Devon Gachou. You know, that G-E-A-U-X, Gadeau, or Go. I never know how to pronounce that. But
it's just Gadeau.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gadeau. We'll go with that. He was suspended indefinitely after charges of domestic abuse and child endangerment. So not only was he stupid enough to go after his girlfriend, I guess, but there was a child around. It ends up being a very bad situation for him. He's been suspended indefinitely, and I don't understand why these guys can't keep it clean.
So those are our highly recruited and highly educated of the week. And then last but not least, we're going to return the final segment of almost. So my almost of the week for almost varsity sports, we talked about it already, the G-Men and Eli Manning. Eli almost had me believing that the Giants were going to have a great season and start 3-0, and this could be the year to get back to the playoffs. They almost had me thinking, wow, this team is going to be one of the best and more fun teams to watch this year, and then he happened to throw that pick. So sitting there at MetLife Stadium, or, you know, Giant Stadium as real fans call it, we almost had a chance to go 3-0, but Eli did some Eli things and gave that one right away to the Redskins. What about you?
And wrapping it up, by the way, this is my favorite segment, but my most of the week is for the UCLA gambling backers this past week. Just a little background for the people that don't know, UCLA was down 3 points. in a game that they were the right side of the bet the entire night. They probably should have won the game outright. We had mentioned them last week as a money line play here. They should have won the game, but they're down 3 points with time expiring. They got one shot at a Hail Mary into the end zone. The quarterback drops back around the 50-yard line. He's stripped. The Stanford defensive end picks it up and returns it for a touchdown. UCLA had the ball down 3 points, covering a 3.5-point spread, and on the last play of the game, Stanford scores a meaningless touchdown with a defensive strip sack for 6.
Yeah, that's a tough one, and that was me. So to make it even worse, UCLA I thought was going to flat out win the game, which would have been awesome because I got it at 2.5, so I got into it late. I got it at 2.5. And then, you know, Genius Steve. So this might be, this is also late bonus segment. My Corey bet here for UCLA. I teased those motherfuckers to get them to 8.5 tees.
Oh my so that God. That touchdown
not only ruined my normal bet, it fucked my tees. And it was, I couldn't even go to sleep. I was like, this has got to be the worst bet I've ever made in my entire life to be in the losing end here. And like you said, they were on the right side. They should have won. I should have got both those dollars.
Should have hit both of those.
I had both of them.
That was one of those bets where you sit and lie in bed. And the worst is because the West Coast game, it's already late on a Saturday night and you're watching it. You lay in bed then and you just shake. Like it's like Sunday scaries on a Saturday. You're just like, you're convulsing in bed and can't sleep because of the awful loss that you just witnessed.
I turned it, I wasn't watching it. So I was already like laying down in bed and I saw the score pop up and there was no description for what happened. And I like physically, I was like, oh, ESPN app sucks. It says they just scored 10 points in a minute. That's not possible. And I don't know. That one was bad. So hopefully this week we have some better fortunes for all of our picks. And I hope everybody has a great weekend here. But that's I'm going to wrap this one up for episode 7 of the AVS podcast.
It's been great. As always, enjoy, listen, enjoy, subscribe. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Clear eyes, full hearts, get loose.